welcome to Journeys of Maxa podcast. I'm here with Ricky Juarez today. We're going to be talking about his band and how he got involved with the band, and also what he's got planned for the future. So, Ricky, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yes. Yeah. So you've actually, I have to tell a little story about you. You've been around Maxa for a while.
Definitely. Yeah. I started out when I was, just a small child, taking piano lessons with Miss Brenda Boyd.
Right, right.
That was
right.
My first music teacher.
Right.
Ever,
so
I guess.
going way back. And but I'm even talking about, I think even prior to that, you were often wandering around the halls.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
because of the first Maxa babies. I won't.
Yeah.
That's
I know what you mean. Yeah.
So you've been around, and it's been great to see you grow and have you here. So anyway, so tell us a little about. Let's talk about what you're doing right now. So what's going on with the band, and what you guys got planned for the fall?
I guess like right now, the last Saturday, we finished shooting a music video. The song was called Saturday Nights, and it recently reached like 1 million streams on Spotify. Okay. So that's like our second guy.
Amazing.
And we thought that was much easier to market and make a music video for. What we did is we organized the lead guitarist Gavin, he spearheaded the whole thing. And organized. So we took we made an open application on our social media. People were able to RSVP, and we kept 100 of them and invited them to a venue that was a skate park and a pool, and we shot a bunch of video of that. There was a little plot that we added to it, something light for the music video to have make sense, but ultimately we just got shots of our fans engaging with us and having a party, kind of. Mm-hmm. Very organized at that venue, and it was a really nice time because when we got to engage with them. But so that's what we did last weekend. But going forward, we're preparing to do a small tour on Labor Day weekend with another band that invited us out, and we're just kind of founding our merchandise type. Our website, and then getting that off the ground. So, but that's what we're doing. There's a bunch of, I guess I can keep going on and on what's happening on in the background.
Well, it sounds like a tremendous amount of things, and it's kind of amazing to me to hear, because you're kind of we tend to know about bands, those of us in the public, once they've already kind of reached those bigger heights, and I've seen you go from, before that, to you're kind of I would say you already have had a lot of success. I mean, hitting 1 million views, and it's not the only one that has had that many views. Shooting a video, that's all that is a big deal. How does it feel to be at that point? What I'm getting at here is that you're at a point where all this is beginning to change and kind of come together. Mm-hmm. How does that sort of feel?
Yeah.
In your position?
With things changing, it definitely feels more and more I think I compartmentalize it like this. When I go to rehearsals with my bandmates, right, and it's just the four of us and we're creating, I isolate that as this is a time for the art and the rehearsing and all that. But I've also had to, in addition to add this kind of area in my mindset, that it's also kind of a job as well. So we all take different tasks on, I guess, the business side of the band. Our oldest bandmate, Gavin, he spearheaded the, getting us an LLC. That we had a partnership. Mm-hmm. Because we're talking to distribution and labels, and they when they want to sign, if they want to sign us or whatever. And if we're doing that, there's a lot of movement of money in there, so we have to. And then when we're selling merchandise, I guess for Uncle Sam, we need that all figured out.
They do like it when you keep track of that, yes.
And so I'm more of the bookkeeper and the accounting. Okay. So I've added that on as but I've still kept it there's two different worlds, and I'm that, and so it becomes more of like a job in a sense as well. And I had to change my mindset and be ready for that. Like, I guess a lot of people may get to that point with, you know, a creative group, an ensemble. It doesn't just have to be a band. And it gets stressful because they're not prepared for that aspect.
Right, right.
My example for that is the lead singer for our band, Keanu. He's a solo artist as well. Mm-hmm. He had very great success very early on. We were in a band together, but he did solo music. Mm-hmm. And his single, his very first single for solo music, blew up.
Wow, really?
It's right now at 30 million streams.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
that is massive.
And it's crazy song that's huge, and
that was like his first one. That was his first.
Yeah, it was his first song. He got the thing is he mastered very early on how to captivate the social media world, which I guess is another thing we can get. That's a whole different conversation that we can talk about later on. But continuing on this context, that overwhelmed him, I guess. I don't know everything about his experience, but he does say often, like, he's glad to be in a band with us four because that experience is like, oh my gosh, there's all this coming at me. Mm-hmm. And you got people asking you for this, shows, all these things. So then tackling all that, you have to be prepared to just treat some parts of it as like, okay, this is a job, and I need to have a system, I need to have ways into it. It's not just this is a hobby, right? I think that that's a lot of a habit. My hobby turned into a job, and I don't like it anymore. Well, if it's really your passion, you really have to be prepared for that, you know. So that's the main thing with me that I had to encounter.
There's so many interesting things in what you just said. One of the things that occurred to me was that, you know, in a band already, creatively, well, just functionally in a performance, you're a percussionist. Somebody else, you got a lead singer, you got a guitarist, you've got people doing different jobs in the band itself, just creating the art, and then you also now have different roles in the business side, right? In a sense, like I kind of have this imagination in my head of like if you have a T-shirt of you guys playing, you might have a separate T-shirt with you doing accounting work and somebody else applying for an LLC or something. Like, you know what I mean? In a way, it's like there's a band, there's a business band behind the band in a way, and which is very that's one of the things I was thinking of as you were talking. And then the other thing I was thinking of is that it was reminding me that we forget, you know, hey, Mozart and Bach and all those people, you know, they had to make a living too, you know, and they had to be, you know, some of them were more successful than others, putting on concerts and selling tickets, and they used to do subscription concerts. You know, like Mozart would say, like, you're going to hear all these new piano concertos, and I'm going to sell all these tickets. And sometimes you wouldn't have written the concertos yet, but, you know, he would sell, do these subscriptions. And if he could have made T-shirts, he would have been making, I'm sure, Mozart, you know, concerto T-shirts.
Probably,
You know, but it's
wigs, right?
Wigs. That's exactly what it would have been.
That's what I would have done if I was Mozart.
You could still do that. You could maybe get like beards or something. Like that'd be cool, right? So I mean, that's it's kind of, to me, one of the things that's so interesting with these journeys that we go through, you know, creative artists. You do have to balance those things, and it can hurt your spirit at first if you're not ready for it, usually you don't like dream of, I would love to do, you know, accounting for my band, you know. That's not your dream as much as
it
playing,
isn't yeah
right?
yeah
and yet if you don't have that structure, you can't be free, right? You can't, you know, and eventually, you know, you guys are gonna, you know, be even more successful, you can hire people to do those jobs, but having done the jobs yourself, you're gonna know who to hire, and you're going to be able to watch things. And of course, some people who've kind of blown up early, like your lead singer you were mentioning, sometimes they can get bad experiences with people taking advantage of them, right? And because they didn't know what to look for.
Yeah.
So I mean, so that's kind of like that's pretty awesome.
Or they burn out very quickly.
Yeah, and burn out.
Some,
right,
sometimes
right.
It just happens too.
Right. So when you were working, you know, towards this, and it started as a hobby, obviously you enjoyed it, you know, but did you see yourself, like, were you, like you said, it shifted, but like what was your vision, like, you know, go back 5 years, you know, 10 years, what was your vision for how, like, music, percussion, and was going to fit into your life? So I know you're also a pianist, of course.
Yeah.
You know, so how did that all, like, yeah. 5-10 years ago, where was your head at with all this stuff?
I mean, 5-10 years ago, 10 years ago, I was 11. So 5 years ago, what was that?
Wait 16, right?
Yeah.
Math. Yeah, good.
There
math
you go. Skills. So at 16, when I was a sophomore in high school, I don't think I had a wink of like, I'll be playing in a band and be studying at a university for music. Mm-hmm. I was just I don't know. What do high schoolers do? They just exist there, and I had ambitions, but I wasn't like thinking to myself that I would be doing music more, very involved as it is now in my life. I just didn't expect it. I thought it was just something like you shoot for the stars, and maybe I'll hit the moon or whatever. However that line goes,
I think that's right. Yeah, shoot for the stars. Maybe I'll get to the moon.
Yeah, so, something like that. And I just thought it probably won't. I didn't think where I am now I would ever reach it. I mean, I obviously deep down you hope, but you have to, sometimes you accept the reality that probably not. Mm-hmm. I still had a drive to get better. Mm-hmm. Like I knew that, I knew maybe I wouldn't, it wouldn't be like a career at some point, or maybe I wouldn't be, I just wanted to get better in all aspects of my life, including mm-hmm. music. Mm-hmm. Going through high school and getting into college, I just had this mentality of just a little bit better. Just getting a little bit better mm-hmm. every day, I guess. Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna pause for a second. Then, I'm curious about that. Well, what was it? What shifted then when you I mean, it sounded like you went through some sort of a shift to change where you thought, okay, now I wanna get better every day. Like, when did that? Do you remember like what caused that, or?
I think what causes that for me is I make sure that I'm with the right people, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So like you have a circle of people.
Yeah.
If you're the best person in the room it goes back to that old thing.
You're so right.
It doesn't. You're not. You think you're the biggest fish.
Right.
You get comfortable and you don't get better.
You're right.
I was in a band and I was like the best guy in the band and it's like well we're stagnating.
Right.
So then you find my friend who we're like it was like, what's the term where like you game recognize game or whatever, right? So you meet this person and you're at the same level of like we're all in on this. We really. He's got musical ideas, I got musical mm-hmm. ideas, and we're colliding mm-hmm. and all that. Mm-hmm. And then we find other people like that, and then we form a band. And that I'm using the band and how that happens.
Well, that's what I'm asking about. This is very interesting. Yeah, yeah.
So I think with that applies to everything, but mm-hmm. within the scope of a band, mm-hmm. you got to find people who match your level of intensity with mm-hmm. Commitment. I guess musical style and even then, the style can be a little bit different and take in different influences, but still the same, course, the same. Some way it has to align, right? Mm-hmm. But you have to find the right people and surround yourself, and then you encourage each other to be better mm-hmm. by holding each other accountable for that. Like maybe if you're in a subpar band, and you're not holding everything together, you settle for things, I guess, musically.
Right.
Whether that be in the studio or for live performance, and mm-hmm. But when you're with a group of guys who expect excellence, mm-hmm. it motivates you to be better, mm-hmm. and you just automatically, it's either a sink or swim type feeling for me.
Right.
You either get better or you won't be part of the band.
Right. Well, you're hitting some key concepts here. I mean, I just want to suss those out for a second, because one of them is we do a willingness to put yourself in a position where you are forced out of your comfort zone, and also the thing like you said, these cliches have truth to them, mm-hmm. that who you surround yourself with, if you're always the smartest person, the most talented person, or the most successful person mm-hmm. in your group, well, you know, I mean, we all need to rest sometimes, right? But like, you know, but like, definitely, if you're trying to get better, you know, you don't want to do that. You want to be, you want to be on the lookout, right? And we can all hold ourselves accountable to a certain point, but it's very hard to sustain that, like, for years and years and years and years and years, right? You really need, I mean, that's why, you know, in sports, you know, like, we just had the Olympics, right? So if there was no Olympics, if there were no basketball games and no baseball games ever, people wouldn't be very good at sports, right? Like, they have to push themselves, definitely, right, yeah, to that extreme. So I think that that's one of the keys that you have expressed here. What it's interesting too, like, what in your spirit, because not everybody does that. Mm-hmm. Not everybody looks for those opportunities. You know what I mean?
Definitely. Yeah,
some
people
are actually very scared of those things, right? They go they run the other way. They run away from that kind of challenge, right?
It's not very human to be uncomfortable, I guess.
Yeah. We don't like to be uncomfortable. Yeah. I mean, animals don't like it. Either. I mean, not. I mean, you know, most people don't like to be uncomfortable.
Definitely.
But you learn, you know, that that's wiser, right?
Yeah.
To put yourself in those positions, so you'll get a lot further. Yeah.
You don't want to stagnate. And I guess in my personal experience, it happened by accident. Like, I met people, you know, we're playing or. It also, mainly, I think that the main thing that occurred to me for how we're in the scope of, like, surrounding yourself with the right people or people who motivate you to be better, I went to, so I graduated from high school and I went to a Trinity University. And there, you know, it's the whole thing where, like, you're the biggest fish here, and then now you get there and you're, like, you know, a tiny fish.
Right. Yeah,
in this new pond.
Great college, yeah.
Yeah. And not only that, but, you know, not only musically, but academically, you're around all these people who are, like, you know, smart or just as smart as you and just as talented as you. And, you know, you could let it either discourage you or you could let it motivate you to surpass that. So for me, it was college, going in there and just realizing, I've got some improving to do. And then from then on, I've always been kind of like, if I'm comfortable, there's, you know, I've got to move somewhere else to get better. But of course, moments to rest. Of course, you can't always be in a stressful environment.
Right,
that's not
course,
that's toxic, right?
Yeah,
You know, just like I always remember the these Greek thing inscriptions, right? Know thyself,
right? Yes,
and
yes,
and nothing in excess, right?
Yes.
And I feel like that's, you know, like a double edged, a coin, right? You can't have one without the other.
Right, true.
So putting yourself in those environments, you got to know how much you can take of that and not use that excessively, because then then you get like the whiplash, you know, that movie.
Well, yeah. of course, right.
Yeah.
Well, and yeah, and I think we, we also want to avoid, things like whiplash, but it's what I'm meant is that, you know, we can get burnt out, but I think when you're the age that you are, you know, typically burnout is, you know, well, who knows, of course you can be burnout at 21 years old, I mean, of course, but I mean, typically though, you know, most people are burnout is not the issue they're facing, right? It's more it's more the other. So but this video is, I'm going to switch back to more present and future now. So
of course,
the video, I grew up in an era where, like, music videos, like, where they got started, you know, and that's such a big deal. It must have been so fun to get your fans together to do something like that. And what'll be cool is if we could put in the show notes a link to the video at some point, and everything like that, as well as the things you guys have coming up. The tour is going to be it sounds exciting. Over the next, just to wrap up the next few minutes here. So what are you thinking, like, you guys have got tours, you've got your merchandising, you've got, you know, in the next year or so, like, what's kind of on the horizon for the band, and for you personally?
For me, for both, well, I'll start with the band. With the band, we're doing the tour, we're starting our baby steps. So we have, we're with our, we have our, the producer that we recorded our latest album with, Aloha Anoha, he was in Austin. His name is Chris Frenchie Smith. He's a really cool guy. Very big personality, mm-hmm. and he used to manage bands, so he liked us so much uh-huh. that he offered to manage us.
Oh, that's great.
And we've been very happy with him so far. He's a 50-year-old guy with mm-hmm. lots of connections, mm-hmm. all the way back to when he was a player himself. Yeah. So we've been benefiting from that, and through him, he's been guiding us to, okay, now we have a lawyer. Now we have a book. We signed with a booking agency.
This is getting real.
Yeah, okay, we signed with a booking agency, and we have a mm-hmm. booking agent. And awesome. Then, then we're talking with distribution labels / actual labels, and kind of weighing and hearing. And then we have all these meetings. And so, mm-hmm. that's what we have to look forward to for a little while: is more meetings with that, which we don't mind.
Right. Part of it.
Yeah, it's part of it. Is understanding it.
Right.
You got to do that. But really looking forward is really our main decision between staying completely independent or signing with some sort of distribution mm-hmm. or label having them help us. And mainly what our manager wants us to do is to take touring baby steps. So this first one is only 4 dates. We're mm-hmm. only part of it. We're the direct support for only 4 of those dates mm-hmm. in Denver, Colorado, Dallas, Houston, and Austin.
Okay.
So nothing crazy. Yep. And then he's saying, okay, then maybe after that, maybe y'all can handle a week of touring.
Right, okay, that's smart.
Maybe that, maybe
that's
2 weeks, right?
That's a good way to do it.
Especially since me and Keanu, the lead singer, we're both still in, this is our last year of university.
Right.
And we would like to graduate. Yep. And so it helps us to baby step our way into, okay, now we're touring more mm-hmm. and all that. Mm-hmm. So that's what we're looking in the future. Mm-hmm. Baby steps into being a touring band and doing that. And then me personally, I still have that same old, I want to get better, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. I'm still with these guys because they have such a high expectation for me. It's pushed me to get to look more and more deeper and deeper into my ability to perform. My ability as a person is everything. So that's what I look forward to for both, to just continue to grow and to be a better person. So.
Wow, that's awesome. Ricky, this has been such a fascinating conversation. I really appreciate you coming in today. This has been a conversation with Ricky Juarez, and I'm just really excited. I kind of feel like maybe we'll be part of like the documentary shot in about 5 years on when you
maybe
blown up, you know, and like I'll be like, I was there talking to him, you know, one of the early Maxa podcasts. So I really appreciate you sharing your journey with us
and
your path to success.
Thank you.
We'll be back next week with another podcast. Thank you so much for watching.
Thank you.